It is time for our special interview. Today, we're going to talk about the issue of post-COVID-19 health conditions. You might have heard of this term, long COVID. So it's defined by the World Health Organization as a condition occurring in individuals with a history of probable or confirmed COVID-19 infection. But what does this exactly mean? What are the symptoms? Let's find out. We have invited Dr. Melissa Dawn Pinto to the airwaves. She's an associate professor at the Sue and Bill Gross School of Nursing at the University of California, Irvine, which is in the United States. She's an expert in long-term COVID symptoms. Hi, thanks for joining us today.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
So first, if you can help us better understand what this term means, long COVID, we've heard about it. What exactly is this and what are some of the symptoms?
Yeah, so thank you for starting with the definition that was recently put out by the World Health Organization. So it is a history of a probable or confirmed, and that's really important because initially they wanted people to have a confirmed test. And we know that we didn't have good testing initially when the pandemic started. So it's usually symptoms that happen for 3 months and last for at least 2 months. And it cannot be explained by any sort of alternative diagnosis. So the common symptoms include things like fatigue, shortness of breath, cognitive problems, so problems with memory, concentration, and thinking. And these type of symptoms will usually impact a person's ability to carry out their day-to-day activities. The symptoms can be new, meaning they could be different than what they had during COVID. It could be the same. They can persist. They can fluctuate, or they can what we call relapse and remit, which means flare up and then stop for a while and then flare up again later.
I see. So what about in terms of just, patients that simply have COVID, what's the big difference between just, you know, having symptoms of COVID or after you've come down with it and long COVID? Is it in terms of, as you mentioned, the 2 to 3 months or even longer of these symptoms lasting?
So usually that when you have, you know, initially have COVID, that it's your body's responding to an active virus, an infection. The immune system has revved up and it's trying to fight off the SARS-CoV-2 virus. Mm. So, okay, so when we have long COVID, the virus, we believe, is long gone out of the body, but the immune system has not stopped. It's revved up and it has not yet turned off.
Ah. And so in terms of people and long COVID, how common is this?
So that's a good question. So we're still getting a grappling with the definition of long COVID. And so as we change the definition of long COVID, so do the statistics change. So the most recent data that I have seen around the world was about 30% of people. I do want to cite, I guess, some the most recent meta-analysis that I was able to find. So 30% of people have long COVID 3 to 6 months after infection. This was a study I looked at that included nearly every continent for people that had symptoms 3 or more months after the COVID diagnosis. And 1 in 3 people had fatigue or more for 3 or more months, and 1 in 5 people had problems with their cognition. So for people that are, and I want to go back if we can for just a second to talk about long COVID and help to give the listeners a picture of what this may look like. So to me, it appears that there's this overarching category called long COVID, but we're really seeing, at least in the United States, 2 groups of people. So the first group is what I'm sort of referring to during this interview, and that is relatively healthy, middle-aged persons. We believe that they're women. We don't know if they're showing up more for care or if it truly is. This is striking women more than men. That's still yet to be determined, but these are highly productive members of society. They're functioning well prior to contracting COVID, and they typically have no underlying conditions in a normal BMI. So what happens is they're struck by this infection, and then that manifests as a variety of symptoms, and it takes months, and I will say now that we are almost 2 years into the pandemic, years to recover. Common symptoms are brain fog, fatigue, depression, with mental health, we a lot of times leave that out, and problems with memory and cognition. Some of our own research has found about 25% of people find the symptoms to be painful, and they do interfere with a person's ability to work. The other group that we're considering long COVID, they look a little bit different. They tend to be older men. They were hospitalized. They have pre-existing health conditions like obesity, diabetes, hypertension or high blood pressure, and cardiovascular disease. The first group, when I was telling you that were usually relatively healthy individuals, were not hospitalized for COVID, but both are being grouped under this umbrella term of long COVID.
Ah. So let me ask you this. In terms of, so you mentioned that first group, it to me seems a little bit more, I guess, curious in terms of, you know, you mentioned women, you mentioned that they usually don't have, for example, they're not obese, they usually don't have underlying health issues. So do scientists or researchers know why this might be?
So that's what we're trying to figure out, is some of the subtleties. So first of all, we're trying to figure out if there's basically subgroups under this long COVID. I kind of gave you a picture clinically of what they look like, but we believe it has something to do with the immune system. Mm. And what I was telling you, that it revs up and it doesn't know, hey, it's time to switch off now. The virus is gone. we can take a break. And it just continues and it behaves erratically.
Ah, so for those of our listeners who are joining us right now, we're speaking with Professor Melissa Pinto. We're talking about long COVID right now. So for our next question, is there any type of special care or treatment for long COVID right now?
No, there is not. So unfortunately, we do not have a magic bullet to basically say, yes, you take this and you will no longer have long COVID. So they are exploring some things that look like it may work. And what they're learning is from patients, really, because we don't really know much about this disease. And so some patients are reporting things like over-the-counter antihistamines, as well as steroids. And, you know, steroids are prescription, and so that's definitely not a long-term solution. But those seem to be some of the initial things that we're seeing that may be helpful to persons with long COVID. The benefits of this, however, appear to be variable. And what we really need to begin to parse this out would be high-quality randomized trials to determine truly what is efficacious.
I see. What about in terms of vaccination? Are people who are vaccinated less likely to get long COVID, or is this just kind of random?
So we only have had the vaccine for, I guess we've had the vaccine out for about a year.
Okay.
So that provided pretty good protection against Alpha and Beta, and then Delta came, and now Omicron. That's a whole nother animal in itself. So I will say that what I have seen is that people that are vaccinated tend to be less likely to get long COVID. However, we don't know this for certain because it hasn't been long enough to know. And we don't really know how the different variants would affect a person's chance of getting long COVID.
I know this is our next question is not on our slate of questions that I've sent to you, but I'm hoping that you might be able to answer it. So I've seen some news articles, especially from the United States, saying that, I believe that some people are still using cloth masks in the U.S., that
yes,
it's still quite common, but that this might not be enough to protect against the Omicron variant. Can you tell us anything along those lines?
Yeah, I'm going to do the very best that I can.
Okay, sure, yes.
Really, really funny because I watched something earlier with an expert talking about N95s versus, a multi-layer mask. And so I have been told by my infectious disease friends, they feel most comfortable with me with an N95 mask, particularly if I'm in some enclosed spaces with very poor, ventilation or circulation. The expert I just heard on that I know and I heard give a talk this morning said it needs to be a well-fitting mask. So I think that there's value in both of those. And I can tell you that Omicron is super contagious. It's highly, highly contagious. So I think that people need to find a good fitting mask. And what we don't want to happen is people to put an N95 on and then it not be fitting well, right? Because then it's a problem. Even if you have an N95, it's not fitting well. So therefore, all the air is coming in around it.
So to wrap up our interview today, anything else we should know about, be aware of in terms of long COVID?
Yes. So I want to talk just about a couple things because I talk with patients a lot. So I think it's time for us to begin to talk about mental health. And I have been talking about gaslighting that has been happening in the medical community. And healthcare providers need to begin to take this seriously. This is a serious disease. And I will tell you, in the United States, there's no safety net for persons in the United States with long COVID. There's not been any sort of precedent set that this disease is a disability, despite the fact that it could last for months to years. And as you had noted, and I did too, that the definition of long COVID for the World Health Organization is that the initial diagnosis that a provider would jump to is not long COVID. They have to rule a lot of other things out. So this actually requires a lot of close monitoring and some very expensive tests. So what I hear a lot about is the cost associated with hospitalization of COVID. What I see is missing is the cost of care and establishing a safety net for people with long COVID. Right now in America, there's none. And just as a personal example, I know someone that would fit into the first group, highly productive. And last year, her health care alone exceeded more than $100,000 a year. And she actually paid out of pocket more than $20,000 a year. And that's with good insurance. So in America, insurance is often tied to your ability to work. And if you can't work because of long COVID, it'll be difficult for you to have good insurance. And even with good insurance, it's expensive and exceeding what would be possible for the average American family to pay. So without insurance or income, how can people afford health care they need without going broke or even establishing a diagnosis of long COVID? In short, in my mind, they are forgotten.
Great points that you just made. And I want to thank you for coming on air with us and talking about long COVID. Happy New Year and thanks for joining us again today,
Professor. Thank you. Thank you for having me and Happy New Year.
Absolutely. Once again, this was Professor Melissa Pinto. We talked about long COVID, about what the symptoms might be, and how it's very difficult, from what the professor was saying, to be even properly diagnosed with long COVID in terms of how long you have these symptoms and even getting the care that you might need as you battle long COVID.